step by step.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. We're going to have Spencer come up and do our joke.
Hey, I'm Spencer, an alcoholic joke teller. And I was again asked to inform everyone that the bathroom is right there. They say this is the only meeting in Fort Lauderdale you can do your business and still hear the message. All right, and now I got one from Take Me to Your Sponsor, Best Jokes and Cartoons from A.A. Grapevine. One day, a good man died and went to heaven. He was met at the pearly gates by St. Peter, who escorted him around to various rooms to see which one he would choose for his eternal dwelling. The first one contained robed saints sitting in a circle repeating chants. "Too spooky," said the man. The next room held saints shouting "Hallelujah" and rolling around the floor, while a man screamed from a podium. "Too wild," said the man. The third one contained prayerful, solemn saints in formal attire, counting beads. "Too boring," said the good man. The final room contained a group of laughing people in worldly attire, using off-color language, smoking cigarettes, and drinking coffee. "Who are these people?" asked the man. "We're not sure," replied St. Peter. "They declared they are not saints, but we let them stay anyway because they've promised they will only stay one day at a time."
Great job, Spencer. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is James. Thank you for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise or will or distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away, and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. If everyone's ready, we're going to bring in the monks and turn down the lights.
Thank you.
We're going to say the fog light prayer. If you don't know it, it's up on the screen. It's on the yellow cards on the backs of the chairs.
God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love revealed.
There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked Jewel to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is. Please welcome up Jewel.
Hi, my name is Jewel, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, and here is Spiritual Experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most empathetically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Thank you.
Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so just turn your phone off. We have Paulette here for her 10th session. Please welcome Paulette.
I think you raced through that one, James. This is not a double. Mm-hmm. Hello, everybody. I hope you're feeling happy as I am. And if you're not, not my problem. Because I am happy. Feeling happy. Got here tonight, and I was early, and I was just happy to be here. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. That I can find this kind of peace and happiness and joy in a room of AA with a bunch of crazy, kooky people. My kind of people. So I'm very happy. I thank you for helping me to get this way. Appreciate it very much. the long timer, there's a couple of them in the rooms, and I happen to be friends with them. And I told him I was going to tell you all. He said, I have worn out my welcome because the water bottle just got smaller. And I thought that was a priceless one. Right, James? Anyway, I am your alcoholic servant, and I am a member of the One Day at a Time group of Alcoholics Anonymous that meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. up in Miramar, or down in Miramar going south, southwest. And I am sponsored, and I sponsor. And to me, that's the difference between work and working. I do have a sober date, and my sober date is January 28, 1995, and my name is Paulette. Hello, fellow travelers. Tonight we are on 10, so I want to waste time because this is good stuff. This is really good work. Consistently and constantly. Consistently, I have trouble with. So I need to hear myself sometimes. When I tell you what happens, I need to practice it more often. So there's always room for improvement. I'm going to say my set-aside prayer that was given to me by one of my sponsors, Dorothy H. And this is my prayer that settles me and puts me on even keel, a balance. And it lets me remind myself that I'm not in charge and that I am just an instrument. And so it goes like this, dear God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself. This book, my disease, these steps, and especially about you, dear God, so that I may find an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me to see the truth. Thank you. 10-step says, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So, but that's a mouthful, isn't it? But at this juncture, if you have followed the book as it has asked us to do, he said Bill likes to call it a few simple suggestions. We should be pretty much, I'm going to take this off, I'm warm. I'm not stripping, by the way. it's just warm. Bill calls this a few simple suggestions, and I agree. I want to start tonight with the 9-step promises and move into 10. So, please bear with me, because this is something that comes to me every time I look at 10. I wanted to share with you before I get into 9-step promises that something that I was sharing with somebody, the fellowship after the meeting, which is wonderful. And I remembered sometimes when we make amends, it doesn't go so well according to what our thinking or our expectations are. This has been my experience. And one of the amends that I made when I got to my sister, I am one of four, and one died. The one that died is 10 years older than I. So, but we share the same birthday, just 10 years apart. She's the one that used to be my mother in terms of taking care of me. And so I was her little sister, but I was more than that to her. When I was about 5 years sober, my sister would come. She used to come to my apartment every day. And we would sit, and she would just talk about her day at work. My sister had a lot of issues, and so she just needed someone to talk to that would listen. She wasn't looking for solutions. I didn't know it back then. She just wanted somebody to just listen to her without judgment. I wasn't capable of taking all of that all at once, but I thought I could. And so I gave her as much as I could until one day it built up. And I lashed out at my sister. I remember hitting my hand on the wall of my apartment in Brooklyn, New York. And I just lashed out at her about why does she have to live in this problem all the time. And I wasn't nice. I was judgmental. And did more than hurt her feelings. I broke her heart. Because the one person that should have been there for her with an understanding heart has just let her down. And so what 10 tells me is once I do things like that, I need to take my inventory. That's why I can talk to you freely about it. But it feels as if it happened yesterday because it's so hurtful. And I cause harm. And that's not what I wanted to do. And so that's why I have to check my motives at all times. And I remember my sister left my apartment in shame because I shamed her. That wasn't my intentions. And my sister left my apartment and she made a promise that she would never speak to me again for as long as she lived. But because of 10th step, I took my inventory. I knew I had done wrong and I had to make an amends. Because I caused harm. So I called up my sister after I discussed it with my, I had a good friend that a wonderful spiritual grasp on this way of life. And she was a good friend of mine. She walked me through it. I shared what I did, the harm and all of that stuff. And so I got ready. I prayed. There was a prayer. And I asked God to give me the courage, to pick up the phone and call my sister. And I called my sister. And my sister answered and she said, I do not want to talk to you as long as I live. And she hung up. Now, part of 9th step says, as long as I'm willing and I've given it a good try and my job is done, I do not own the outcome. I have to accept it. And so at first I didn't feel that way because I wanted to make it right. Making it right isn't my job. My job is to become willing to do what is right. The outcome isn't mine. And so my sister never spoke to me again. My sister spoke to my husband and her nephew, but avoided me as if I never lived. I had to live with it. But I made a certain different amends. And Lori and I was talking about what we do with living amends as we go forth into 10. I would tell the family that whenever they called me, to not discuss my sister with me. If it is not good, I don't want to talk about it. If it's not anything good about her, I don't want to hear about it. I set some boundaries, and I had to stay within those boundaries. And they respected my wishes, so we never talked anything about her. We knew what she was doing, but we never interfered with her life. She reached out to the family. I moved to Florida in 2006. I'm in my backyard, and the phone rang. And it was a call from my sister's best friend. My sister died from a massive heart attack. And she listed me as her executor of her will. And I'm telling you this because even though I did not get what I thought I should get from her forgiveness, this way of life, this design for living, when I consistently and constantly practice it the way it's laid out, it shines through to people you don't even know is watching. They don't have to be around you. Because my sister's never come direct. She never came back around me. But she knew how I was living. And what happened is I went to Harlem Hospital where my sister worked for 18 years. She had five supervisors within those 18 years. And all five of them asked for me to come in to meet them. And I went into the conference room, and I'm sitting with these five supervisors, and all of them knew about me, and I knew nothing about them. My sister consistently told them about her sister, even though she didn't share a word with me after that. This is the power of this design for living and the God of my understanding. It has nothing to do with my abilities. Consistently and constantly following directions, even when I think I was let down. It wasn't about that. There was other opportunities that was bigger than I ever thought, that was operating forces beyond my comprehension. And they told me everything. My sister had emotional problems, and she let her supervisor have it every chance she could get. And yet, they knew about me. And so she left all of her monies and everything about to take care of her grandkids, because her son has been murdered. And so I did it to the best of my ability. And I carried out her wishes, never taking a penny for myself. I gave her an opportunity I didn't see coming. Made sure I prepared her funeral to the best that the way she would like it to be. This is what this is about. Rising to the occasion when you don't see it coming. How do I practice this way of life? In foul weather and fair weather, when things aren't going my way. How do I move self into the right space and the right size to be regulated, no longer unrestrained? These are the opportunities. I don't call them issues, or they are opportunities. And so that I wanted to start off with before I got into 10, to show you that this is not something to be played with. This is serious. It's about living and the quality of life. What kind of life? Do I want to live in harmonious life with the sway, the ebb and flow of life? Or do I want to always be in confusion, chaos? Disharmony, the book calls it. I have a choice. 10 says I have a choice if I follow some simple rules. And so I wanted to, I had to start off with that because that's what my spirit says. But anyway, let's get busy, go into 9-step promises, because you can't do 9-step if you haven't done the previous 8. Okay? It's not cafeteria style. It's not a smorgasbord. I'm going to begin here. He says, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Wow. Freedom and a new happiness. This is what I've always wanted. All my life, I've been looking for this. 20,000, 20 million Bacardi later, I roll into AA. And you guys said, do these simple things. And I reached the 9-step and you guys says, a new happiness and freedom. Jesus, somebody should have told me a long time ago. Could I take a shortcut? But you get here when you get here. Then he says, I will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. It's my past that I just shared with you. I have no wish to shut the door on such an important gem. It's a pearl. That experience I just showed you, I hold near and dear to my heart. Don't regret it. Because it has led me to you. I dug down deeper. It has expanded my horizon, widened it. And so I don't, because I know now. And he says, I will comprehend deeper understanding of what this is about. And he says, what will I know? Serenity. This is serenity, and I will know peace all my life. I've been looking for that. Couldn't get a peaceful moment. I couldn't buy it. I tried to manufacture it out of you by controlling you and my surroundings, everything. And never happened temporarily for a brief moment, very elusive. And so I couldn't do it. But all of this that I've shared, he said, no matter where, how far down I go, what I have experienced can benefit others. It is, my friend Laurie and I talks about it, it is the one that can divert us from misery and sure death. That's how wonderful and precious my past is. And then he says, here is the part that I have the feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. It's my third step prayer every morning. Remove those things, self-pity, self-seeking motives. Uselessness. I have a purpose. I work for God as I understand God. I work for God. Now, 10th step is telling me, 1, 2, 3, I got introduced to the God of my own understanding. That's my heart. 4, 5, 6, 7, my mind. Got to get my mind right. 10th step talks about sanity has returned, which means my thinking is now straight most of the time, depending on my spiritual condition. So I got to check in for 3 to check my thinking in order to have soundness of mind. You see how it works? All comes together. So don't skip it. Don't cheat. 8 and 9 is you. I have to take care of you. He says, love and tolerance is my code. He's not talking about the romantic love that we alcoholics think about all the time. That's not the kind of love he's talking about. He's talking about agape love, where I am more concerned about your well-being than I am concerned about mine, or what I feel for me and what I want for myself. I want the same for you. It's a higher form of love. Where do I get these things? 10 says. He says, but if I do these previous 9 as it's laid out, consistently and constantly, I will find that I can tap into an inner resource. It's unsuspecting, by the way, which means I'm not always aware it's around. Have you ever caught yourself doing something and you know it isn't of you? And you're like, how did this happen? That isn't me. Unsuspecting inner resource. I was talking to my brother who went to the IRS and was cheerful. Tapped into an inner resource. It's unsuspected. Cheerful. Alcoholics do not cheerful when it comes to money. Finances is a big mood changer. It can rob me of my harmony, peace, joy. Don't mess with my money. That used to be my thing. I'm good with you as long as you don't interfere with my money. Because that was my God. It meant security. It's the flip side now. And so he's talking about this and he says, because now I'm starting to gain more interest in you. See how it's flipping? And I was like, really? Yeah, really. Because now I've got what he calls a new attitude and outlook upon life. Things are changing for me. I walk into a rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and I am happy. when I crawled into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was crying and asking God, how did this happen to me? What's going to happen to me now? I have lost everything. My life is over. Drama, because I'm drama queen. But inside, I am bankrupt. And I come to Alcoholics Anonymous in a few 24 hours. I come in and I'm happy to be here, to fellowship, to share. I'm holding hands with Mary Ann, and we're inviting God to sit. That's God's chair in the middle. Who does that? How cool is that? New attitude, new way of looking at things, new outlook, revolutionary change. It is not manufactured by my trying to arrange everything. It is that unsuspected inner resources Ten is talking about, because I am paying attention to serve you. Your whole well-being and happiness, I want to make sure that I don't do anything to damage it. I am responsible. That's a big $10 word for an alcoholic like me that was irresponsible and self-centered and selfish. And so one of the things that Ten tells me, he says, I won't fear you. I won't fear any financial insecurity because I'm doing my amends. I'm taking care of it. I am becoming willing that whatever pops up on my 9-step list, I am ready. So I don't have to look behind my shoulders or over my shoulders, pardon me. So things like this is really important. And it says, and then he says, intuitively, you got to go in the spirit. You got to go quiet, go inward, go deep, sit quietly. Some people say, I can't stay quiet more than a minute. A minute is a wonderful time to sit quiet, check in, see if you could turn off that magnifying mind of ours. Get some directions. It's no longer a hunch or an inspiration. What I used to call a hunch and an inspiration, he says, is now a working part of my mind and my life. I no longer have hunches or inspiration. I know intuitive that it comes from a source, unsuspecting. But it's got to be consistent and constant. You can't do it when you feel like it. You're not going to get the results that I'm talking about. You'll get a piece here which will entice you, hopefully, to want more. And then he says, I will suddenly realize God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. This is what he says to me. And when I'm telling you this, it's because all of the things that have been removed from my life through my 4, 5, 6, 7, the things that blocked me from the sunlight of the Spirit, has blocked me all my life. When I consistently and constantly work these steps as they're laid out, without cheating me, I am now open so that when the sunlight of the Spirit comes in, I can act according to this. And so Ten is serious business. So he says, I should be able to do my inventory anytime. Now, years ago, when I wasn't doing these studies of the book and everything else, I was just hanging out, because we go through the hangout space. Until God taps me on the shoulder and says, get busy living, Paulette. Do some work. But I used to think that the 10-step questionnaires were there. It's not. I have found out that's not true. No. That I should wait till I go to bed at night to ask these questions. Now, most of you have heard my story. If you haven't, keep coming. But I can't remember a time in my drinking career that I hurt people while I was sleeping. It was in daylight. My eyes were open. I may not be aware because I had blackouts, but I harmed a lot of people during daytime. It wasn't night, and it wasn't that bedtime. First of all, I never answered my phone when I got home. No telling who was calling me about what damage I did. But why I say that is, 10 Step tells me I should pay attention to what I'm doing. Look for resentment, number one offender. Fears, look whether I am dishonest. He says I should look for them all throughout the day, which means I'm constantly taking my own inventory. Now, you might think that's all being self-centered, but no, it's the opposite. It means that I'm trying to make sure that I'm in fit condition so that when the inspiration that I used to think was inspiration, it's intuition that tells me when I step on your toes, I can take care of it right away. So nothing builds up. So I could go home and sleep. I could sleep knowing that I had done some harm and I can take care of it right away. Another thing is delay is deadly for me. Because if I put it off, I'm in fear. 10 is saying courage. Take the courage, Paulette, to do what you need to do. Because I need to have some balance. And so the 10 step is talking about this balance. He says, fear will be replaced by courage. I have experienced this. And I will experience it as long as I keep coming and do what is asked of me. And you guys tell me about your experiences. He talks about, he says, my resentment will be replaced with love, the agape love. Because 9 tells me, love and tolerance. I have a code to live by. 10 allows me to see that this program has now become a design for living. It is an architectural design that is made of spiritual qualities. I don't have to make shit up. It's all laid out. Just follow it. And do the best you can. Don't come with the ideas of trying to rewrite the big book. Get over it. That used to be me. Just because I don't want to follow, I am defiant. It's part of my characteristic. So now I'm getting better with the willingness. And the willingness that I'm talking about in 10. It's a voluntary state of being, a higher consciousness. So when I talk about these kinds of things, I am telling you, I no longer have to rely on self-propulsion, trying to exert this force into my outside. It starts in here, out, not from there in. Talk to God of my understanding first before I get to you. Talk about if I have a resentment, anger, I know what to do with it. So if I'm doing the spot check inventory throughout my day, I'm paying attention how I'm treating you. Situation is going to change at any given moment because I don't control situations anymore. So I thought. So what happens is, he says, you are aware. I have been given this acute self-awareness that I can see when I do something and it isn't correct. And I don't have to think twice because I've got a sponsor and she's not sponsorino. I call her on a regular basis so she can see when I call her that I need to talk to her. Now, when I don't do the sponsorina stuff. That's not in my book anymore. Because I know how important people's time is. People give me their time to spend time with me. That's precious. And so these are things. And then my balance and my clarity and my soundness of mind means sanity for me is seeing the truth and accepting the truth, not trying to live in the mind of fantasy, because my alcoholic mind can get there. And so when 10 Steps talks about this, he says, the quality of my life changes if I consistently and constantly follow these, check every day as I get up to see if I am being resentful, if I'm being angry, if I'm being selfish. And my favorite one is fear. Because fear is constantly with me. I just know what to do about it when it comes. It comes. I was not struck super sober. I am a human being. There's stuff that comes. But I have an unsuspecting inner resources that constantly grows and gets wide every time I tap in. I am constantly being taken care of. I told you about the word care. The power that I have in my life that I call God paid special attention to me. It feeds my ego so nicely that I really don't need to manipulate you for your love. You can give it to me, I'll take it lightly. But the love I get from the God of my understanding is so much more. It allows me to love you the way you are. That's what tolerance is. I don't want to change you. I want to love you exactly the way you are. I can't do this by myself. Of myself, I am nothing. And so this is what 10 gives me. Pay attention. The end of this month, I'm going away to my retreat. I haven't been there in 2 years. It's where I go to cut off all ties with the outside world and get rid of all electronic devices. Why? It's where I start to do like a semi-annual inventory. I need to put away the world, the clamors of the world, and get quiet. It's important for this way of life for me. 10-step allows me to do that. And so when I want to talk to you about it, it's so important for us alcoholics, myself included, to give yourself permission to live that way. It's important because we didn't get sober just to sit in a chair. We have work to do. We are here. He is our employer. He is our Father, and we are His children. And so we are here to serve. And so by me giving what I have, I am no longer able to just give without sitting back and quiet. When you give all you have to find time to replenish your soul. I believe in that. And go quiet so I can hear. And not thinking, because ego seeps in at any given moment and tells you the lies. Insanity returns. That's what resentment, what fear, what dishonesty and selfishness is. Forms of insanity that is wrapped up in a nice box tied with a red bow. It's an illusion. That's a form of insanity. So when he says that I need to do that, he's talking to me about what it takes to keep it. Now, the more I practice 10, the easier it gets. Because now it becomes a working part of my life. He says, I will be rocketed in the fourth dimension. Now, it might be eevee-jeevee to those of us who haven't practiced it enough. But I'm telling you, it's not. It's finding yourself doing some form of act of kindness and love that you know is not of yourself. You're doing things for people that you don't even like. because you want them to have some kind of happiness. You are trying to help them, but you don't expect anything in return. Have you ever done that? It's the huge, it's a high. It's a real good high. That's the kind of high I was chasing all my life, but wasn't willing to pay the price. 10-step gives you that. And so when he says that, he says, so I want to tell you about, oh, Mike Chase is going to kill me. But I got to give you the promises. 10-step has promises, by the way. And I think it is in 85, 86. Yep. Pretty good. I'm going to read this because it needs to be read when I finish. Because this is important. It helps me a lot. And I'm starting from the bottom of 84, and I'm going to work my way up. I will take your resentment later, Mike. I wear it well. Love and tolerance of others is our code. This comes from 2, by the way, step 2, if we work it the way it's laid out. He says, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and proceed or continue, which means persistently, constantly, come to set right new mistakes I make. It is already telling me I am going to make mistakes. Get rid of the perfectionism. And then he says, I vigorously commenced this way of life, this design for living. And how do I do it? He says, as I continue to clean up my past. So if you think your past is done because you finished a 4th step and an 8th step, spoiler alert, keep coming. More will be revealed. And then he says, because now my next function is to grow. This is growth. This is what spiritual growth is. In effectiveness and understanding. This is what 10 is about. And then he says, once, and he said, and then he tells me this because he gives me all this hope, and then he kicks my feet out from under me when he says, this should continue for a lifetime. Damn. You know? So he said, continue to watch for those little pesky little termites. And those are dishonesty, selfishness, and resentment and fear. Because when they crop up, I have to immediately ask God to remove them. He's serious about this. And he says, because I need to know if I had harmed anyone, amends. And so what he's telling me is, when I do that, here is the other part of getting out of self, is resolutely turn my attention to somebody else. Killing of self, man. I don't have time to get into self-pity. And then he says, so love and tolerance is my code. Now, here is the promises from 10 step. Because there are promises. We read a lot of 9, but we don't read a lot of 10. Oh, let me change that. I don't hear a lot of 10 until I go to certain meetings. So I'm going to change that and start reading them. And we have ceased fighting anyone or anything. The debate is over. I don't have a thing to prove. When you are the servant that 3rd step shaped me to be, I don't have nothing to prove to you. Because I know I am a child of my creator. I am just too cute for you. When you are created by the creator and you know it, you're humble and your humility anchors you. That's a sweet way to live. So he says, I don't have to fight you no more and argue with you. I can just say, God bless you. And I mean it. And then he says, what should I do? He said, because by the time I get to tell you that, sanity has returned. Kid me, that's right there. sanity, soundness of mind. My ability to think straight has returned. I can think my way now out of a paper bag. It's real. And then he says, and I will seldom think of liquor. And I will recoil from it as a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, which means I am responding appropriately to any emotional situation. Damn, you could have told me this from the beginning. I wouldn't have believed you. But here it is. Nothing you tell me that should rock my boat if I'm anchored in this. And then he says, and we find that if we consistently and constantly do the 10-step as it's written, follow the few suggestions, he says, this happens automatic. Flip the switch. Just flip the switch. It turns on. He says, I will now have a new attitude towards liquor, which means it doesn't bother me. I can go to places where it's served and I know why I'm there. Not about picking up nobody or a drink. I am there for a purpose, and when my purpose is over, I said good night and I know where I'm going. I don't have to think about it. And then he says, this kind of attitude is revolutionary. Then he says, because I am not fighting it. I don't even think about it. Then he says, I don't even give it any thought. I don't give it any thought. Not on any upper parts. It just comes. Three words made a sentence. It just comes. And he did not even, with an exclamation mark, miraculous. It comes. And he said, you talk about living in the fourth dimension. He says, because I am neither fighting it or am I avoiding temptation. I feel as though I have been placed in a place of neutrality. Jesus, all my life. And then he says, and this is the part that I live. I feel the comfort and the arms around me, safe and protected. That's what I feel. No matter how bad it gets, safe and protected. It's a promise. He says, because I don't have sworn off liquor. I've sworn off the bad behavior. And then things that blocked me from the spirit of sunlight of the spirit. And what happens is my problem has been removed. So I don't have to really be cocky or show off about it. I just bear it under the cloak of humility. This is what he's talking about. So this has been my experience. And I will get these promises so long as I do not let up on them, and as long as my spiritual condition is fit and right. Thank you.
Let's give Paulette another. And we're going to have Brandon come up and do the secretary's report.
Hi, my name is Brandon, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seven tradition, which states every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around, and we also have QR codes on the chair backs. And then I've asked Tyler to come up and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering, and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
Hello. My name is Tyler. Alcoholic. Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for a lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
A 1940-style Big Book sponsorship from the forward of the second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous, of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, and came to believe and experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Is anyone needing a sponsor? Okay, can the recovered alcoholics please raise your hand? These are the people you want to surround yourself with. And then screen announcements. Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is responsible for creating our Where and When and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get to an outside meeting, such as jails, detoxes, rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Do we have any members of BCIC out here tonight? If you are, could you stand? Okay. Cool beans. Next slide. And then upcoming service announcements. We have telephone relay. Mike Chase has some more information on that in the back. Paulette until May 2nd. And after that, we have Marion. And then, of course, our home group's Monday night's Big Book Study Workshop, where the Big Book comes alive. Join us for fellowship at 6:30, and the workshop starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, and the Little Red Book, and Big Book dictionaries for sale. We meet every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask you to be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells.
Session and all past speaker podcasts at alcoholicsandgod.org. We have QR codes on the back if you want to scan for that. Again, we'd like to invite everybody to Monday. It's upstairs here at 7:15 on Mondays. And those who would like to thank Paulette can line up down the center aisle. Before we say the Lord's Prayer, this church that we're in here that you guys come to on Mondays and Thursdays, we've been here for years. They take good care of us. They need help this Saturday from 8 to 12, 8 a.m. to noon. To do various little touch-ups at the church, like put mulch and little easy, very things. But if you're looking for some service or you need to fill out some community service hours or something, come by and help us out between 8 to 12 here, okay? And we're going to say the Lord's Prayer from our seats. It'll be up on the screen if you don't know it. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
I am desperately in need of restoration. Yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher. Yeah, the just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees puts me back on my feet again. Load is heavy, too much accumulation. Since that I have amount to nothing at all, and I am willing to hand over every one of them, 'cause they won't profit me anything in the end. On my own, I just can't. Smiling,
little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, 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 let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Plug in my guitar. my songs, and people sing along, and stomp their feet and raise their arms. And here in this moment that we share, nothing could come up. Lessons when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Yeah, I dream now, and everything's alright. Oh man, going on 10 years old, that song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
Yeah. dignity. Got one man that just won't set me free. Now clap your hands and believe me, children. A one man soul, the one thing in my life, baby, that could have made me another man's wife sooner. Shine your light on me tonight. So Lord, shine your light on me tonight. Shine your light, oh, shine your light. Lord, shine your light on me tonight. Shine your light on me tonight. Yeah.